Africa or Ethiopia, you are not getting things easily. So everything is going to be depending on that person. You have to fight. Fighting is our normal.
Welcome to the Journey to Impact podcast, where we show you how to turn your unique passion into a strategy to change the world. Today's interview is going to sound a bit different. On our podcast, you'll frequently hear Ed reference Ethiopia and the business he helped to start there called Highland Harvesters. This is one of two interviews he did while in Ethiopia, and it features a Highland Harvesters employee named Manit. She talks about the challenges women face in her country and how she has fought hard to overcome those challenges. It's time to get off the bench. Let's do this. Here's your host, Ed Gillentine.
So I'm here with Manit Bekele in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. She's one of my favorite people in the world, so I'm glad you're going to get to hear from her. But Manit, why don't we dive right in. Give us the sort of abbreviated story of your life, if you will. Where you're from in Ethiopia, your education, and how you got to work for Highland Harvesters as the Chief Financial Officer, Chief Operational Officer.
As Ed said, my name is Manit Bekele, born in Addis. I am the sixth child from my family. I have three brothers and three sisters. My dad was all about education, and I'm growing, listening to my dad. You have to continue your education. You have to continue your education. And he helped me to read a lot, to ask a lot, and to express my thinking openly and freely. And I continued my education and have my MBA just before a few months ago, which excites me the most. Because being a woman and living in Ethiopia or in Africa, getting education is not that much accepted or recommended. So nowadays, women are trying to exceed their education. So that's what I intended to do and have my MBA. And I joined HH 2017 of March as a part-timer to close the financial report for HH. There were two companies at that time, TJA and CJA. CJA, the current name, HH Fruit Agriculture PLC, the Ethiopian name. And since that day, I joined HH, and I'm so excited to be here.
Talk a little bit. You mentioned your dad really encouraged you to think and to express your thoughts and to be free thinking. It sounds like he was not trying to tell you how to think. How important was that to you, and how do you think that shaped you as a woman in Ethiopia?
Wherever you go, in government offices, or you can say private, or even living with people, it is so difficult to express your feelings. And raised like that makes me a successful person, because there is nothing in the world that you are going to be afraid to say whatever you want,
right,
and whatever you are believing in. It might be wrong or it might be right, but you have to say it politely. This is what my dad used to say always, and it makes me a better person and makes me a competent person in anywhere that
right.
I go.
That was one of the things early on at Highland Harvesters that we struggled with in Ethiopia, was finding people that would tell you what they really thought. As a culture, you kind of want to guess what you want to hear and tell you. And so that was one of the things that made you stand out among other employees and other sort of applicants. And I think that's been a big part of your rise in the company, because you tell the senior leadership what you really feel, politely. I think that was a big part, at least from my perception, of how you've become a strong leader. When you think about your education as a young girl in Ethiopia, give our listeners an idea of what school is like in Ethiopia, in the United States, which is where the predominant amount of our listeners are. And they have a good sense of school, a good sense of education. And in America, a lot of times, generalizing is probably not good, they do try to teach American students how to think, how to problem solve. Is that the same in Ethiopia, or is it more just memorization, learning facts? What was your experience?
To be honest, it's almost the reverse in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
From my educational background and from the people that I'm living, who are educated themselves in Ethiopia, you have to fight to get the knowledge by yourself. You have to read a lot. I mean, you are not going to expect to get too much knowledge from the school.
I see.
You have to read a lot. You have to research a lot to get what you are looking for from education. So, you know, everything is not easy accessible.
Right.
Books, it was not easily accessible. And even reading by itself, it was not accessible. But I think I was a lucky person, and my dad was helping me to get different kind of books. That helped me a lot, even for my education. So education by itself in Ethiopia, it's difficult to get knowledge from what you are learning.
Right.
So you have to educate yourself in order to get a knowledge that you are looking for.
When you talk about books, my experience in Ethiopia is like there's not a lot of books that are translated from around the world into Amharic. Plus, there's a bunch of different languages in Ethiopia. So it's kind of exacerbated. It's just hard to find books. So when you think back on your childhood and your teenage and sort of college years, what are there some books that stood out to you that really, really helped you and shaped you?
Actually, my number one favorite that helped me throughout all this time is the Bible.
Uh-huh.
The Word of God.
Right.
Besides that, we have some relatives living outside Ethiopia. So they used to send us some different kind of children books.
Right.
So that just helped us to read. And while we were trying to teach ourselves how to read, by the way, it's difficult to know even English language in most public schools or government schools. So nowadays it's very different, but my childhood experience, it was difficult. So mm-hmm. I had to read louder, and my dad has to listen
right.
whenever I'm trying to read. And he was my teacher and my mentor, and he corrects me whenever I'm trying to read. So getting a book is definitely difficult.
And so were you reading those books in English?
Yes.
You kind of taught yourself English, if
yes.
you will, and your dad helped you.
Yeah, definitely.
As a sidebar, I always feel like the people in Ethiopia that speak the best English always tell me they watched a bunch of movies in English. Did you watch any movies? Do you think that really helps?
Yes, besides this, you know, I purposely wanted to learn English since it was, at that time, it was an international language. Still it is.
Right.
So I told myself, I have to educate myself. So, you know, when you are reading louder, it teaches you how to read. You will listen to it.
Speak.
Yes.
Articulate.
And exactly. And then it will help you, like, for your accent.
That makes sense. It's actually fascinating. When you think about how difficult it was as a woman in Ethiopia, in the Ethiopian educational system, how difficult it was for you, and you had this champion in your dad saying, go for it, mm-hmm. and really encouraging you. When you think about your friends growing up, when you think about the young women that we see where the farm is in the rural areas, share your observations on how difficult it is for them. How much more difficult, I presume, even for you, because I don't get the sense that very many fathers are encouraging their daughters like your dad encouraged you.
Yeah, very true, very true. especially when you are asking me about, like, in a rural area. You know, we have women employees that are working at HH. Most of their stories are very sad. I can give you one example or two examples.
Okay.
Last time, by the name of Daggafach, she was pregnant until the end. Almost she was about to give birth.
Right.
Or to give birth at that time. And they didn't even took her at the hospital because they thought in their mind, they were not sure. This is the second time. So her child died. And the father and the husband, they said, no, she's not going to go to the hospital. She was suffered, waiting at her house. And this is what you are observing. And sister, our best junior technician leader, she lives by herself in that rural area. And I asked her, like, she was sick last time. And I asked her, why are you going? You can live with your dad since your husband is not around you. You don't have to be alone. And she said, my dad said no.
Wow.
She was sick, but he said no. So it is so hard. I know it is difficult to generalize from dads to dads. But unfortunately, I think I was, I was lucky enough to have a dad like this. But our system by itself, it's difficult for the fathers to encourage their children. You have to pursue in your education. You have to do this, like, freely. Think freely.
I feel like it's not encouraged, that type of free thinking in the culture, in the system.
Yes.
And when the outcome, like you mentioned earlier, if you're not really learning much at school, the only way you're going to really learn is you have to apply yourself outside of school, which is really hard. And if you're in a rural area, when you come home from school, I presume you're working a lot. And when you can't just open the refrigerator and put your meal in the microwave and eat, the very act of preparing the meal takes up a lot of time, which in Ethiopia is predominantly, I presume, being prepared by the woman or the women in the house. They're going to take care of that. Mm-hmm. So we go from generally it's difficult to get educated as a child in Ethiopia, specifically to girls that probably don't have the encouragement that you had. And then you have a system and a culture and responsibilities at a young age. So it's really difficult to get quality education and quality knowledge. So if you think about your experience and what you've observed, and what are some things that you think would be helpful for the education system in Ethiopia to be better? I'm just kind of curious. Part of me wants to say, start telling dads to encourage their children. But what do you think?
Definitely, it starts from there. You know, nowadays, like in Ethiopia, the big problem that we are seeing, the fathers are not taking their places. They are not leading.
Right.
They're like their family. And this is, most responsibilities are on them, but they are not taking their position as a dad. And you have to help your child to pursue an education and in a better direction, or to win whatever the life is showing you outside. And that's one of the problems that we are seeing right nowadays. And the other problem is, you know, in general, as a country, I know the government is trying to do different kind of things to help people to get a better education, especially women. We are seeing nowadays, it's a hallelujah for us, you know, nowadays we are seeing women are taking positions. So, which is a good sign, and it will encourage different women in a different position to get education and to pursue whatever they want to pursue in their future. I mean, this is also the other positive things that I am seeing nowadays. But besides that, you know, Africa or Ethiopia, you are not getting things easily. So everything is going to be depending on that person. You have to fight. Fighting is our normal.
Right.
So you have to fight to get a better knowledge. I'm not only talking about education, you know. You might pass from grade to grade. That's not going to change you. But getting a better knowledge that can change you is what I'm trying to talk about. So
right.
To change the quality of education, is we have to work so hard in a family, also as a country.
There's a lot there to dive into. And you communicated it really well. And I think, I mean, you sort of summed it up in Africa in general and Ethiopia. You have to fight for everything, the small things that lead to the big things. You have to fight for education. When you think about women in general in positions of leadership, and similar to yours, right, in the executive level, there's not a lot of ladies in the executives, what we would call the C-suite in the United States. That's that you have to fight to get there. One of the encouraging things for me is the last couple of years, you've seen the first female Supreme Court justice in Ethiopia, and the current president of Ethiopia is a woman. But those have been a long time coming. When you think about encouraging younger women, because I know I try to send young Ethiopian women, and even like my own children, I want my daughters to say, ask Monique for advice, right? But if you think about young Ethiopian women that come to you and say, Monique, how can I do what you're doing? What do you think you would say to them?
Honestly speaking, I'm not a different person, or there is nothing special about me. But I know one thing for sure, you know, the good God is helping me through all my steps. On each steps, He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I really want to share is about, you know, you have to start with your good book that everybody have, the good book of the Lord, because that book is going to help us to show where to go, how to think, how not to think. So that's the first thing that I really want to say to them. And I really want to tell them they should appreciate who they are, like accepting and loving who they are. And they can be whatever they want to be. And they should work so hard in order to get wherever they want to and whatever they want to have. So this is what I really want to say.
It's interesting you said that you're not different, you're not special in your eyes, no more special than anybody else. And I think that's indicative of who you are. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are a role model and that younger ladies and younger girls look up to you, especially in Ethiopia? But have you ever thought about that? And when you do, if you do, how does it make you feel?
You know, on whatever that you want to do in your life, you have to be humble.
Right.
You know, you have to teach all the girls that you want to be a role model to. And whatever they get in their life, they should not be boost about it. They should be humble and serve others.
Right.
With whatever they have or whatever they want to have. So this is my personal motto.
Sure.
Or you have to be humble. Humility. About humility. Humility is very important. That's what our good Lord teaches us. So this is what I really want.
That's good. When you think about the work at Highland Harvesters, one of the passions of your heart is to help women, among many other people. That has been one of our goals as a company from the beginning. How can we help provide jobs, job training, skills, income to women? How has that played out in your view with Highland Harvesters? How have you seen it done well? How have you seen it where it could be done better, and talk a little bit about the ladies that work at Highland Harvesters. How many of them work there? How many employees? Just talk about that a little bit.
I want to start with the lady's story. We just hired her. She's new. And we found out she's pregnant, 5 months pregnant. And when we heard, like, my first impression was I got scared. Because, you know, the works, she's not, her body's not familiar with the work.
Right.
And
hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work. And I asked what her opinion is through Gideon and sister and our leaders at the farm. This was her response that hit me a lot. Like, it was so hard to hear it. She said, this work is way better than staying at my home and working. She said, wow. If I'm staying at my house, the work is going to be more than 3 or 4 times more. So she said she's so happy to work with us. And it just stopped me. And, you know, whenever you are trying to speak with them, your heart will melt. Because the society, I'm sorry to say this, but they are just like a property in that area. So what we are trying to do right now is we are trying to teach them they are better. They are better.
Yes,
yes, they are humans, and they are better than what the society is telling them. And they can do more, and they can be more. And my other plan is, I was talking with our junior technician leader. She's a woman. I'm planning on having only woman time. And then, you know, to empower them. Like, they are doing equally what men are doing. And they are not less than the men that are working with them. So they should see themselves. This is one of my deepest desire, to talk to any woman, like, you have a gift that God has given you, and you can flourish. But the one important thing is, we have to change the way we are seeing ourselves as a woman.
So you interject there. You're telling them this, and yet I suspect it will take time for them to believe, within their cultural context, that they are equal with the men. You and I know most of them are better workers.
Definitely.
Than the men in general.
Yes.
But are you seeing that they're starting to believe what you're saying and what sister is saying?
You know, I'm seeing them with my eyes. You know, even when starting from the greeting, when they are greeting you, previously you don't even see their eyes. But nowadays, like, they will hug you and say, like, how are you? How is everything? This is a big change for me. So I know it will take a lot, because even if you are saying at the farm, you guys are better and you are like equal, you are working equally. So don't see yourself as less. But still they are fighting with the society. There is a huge society that's surrounding them. In their telling them so many things in their day-to-day life. So, but I'm so proud of them. You know, we have three women with children, four women with children. They have a babysitter. We hired a babysitter for them. And still they are walking a long distance. And then they are so happy to work. They don't want to stay at their house, because they know they can contribute a lot with whom they are. So this is what makes me so happy.
That's really amazing. How many employees are at Highland Harvesters, and how many of them would you say are women?
At the farm, we have, in general, the total, including in Addis, we have 81 employees. Out of that, 38 of us are women. So
45%.
Yes. Yes.
That's probably a large percentage in Ethiopia for a company to have that many women in good positions.
Yes. But you know, in some industrial parks,
yes,
most employees are women. But besides that, Ours is different. We are working at like a farm. We are producing apples. It's a fruit farm. So this is huge, huge in number comparing with other companies.
Right. Is there a difference between what men make and women make in Ethiopia if they're in the same job? In America, there's a big difference that we're working to close the gap. Is that the same here?
Yeah, it's the same. You know,
same work, different pay.
Different pay, men. Definitely different pay. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that we have to fight as a woman throughout the world, because you are working equally. Maybe the women are working better than our men, but you know, you cannot fight it. You will try to fight it, but sometimes it's difficult to win it, to get a winning. So.
And how do you, in a position that can actually influence that, at least at Highland Harvesters, how are you trying to make a difference?
So we have lead technicians at the farm.
Right.
Right now there are 5 men, but we have 2 places which are going to be women. The reason that we made we make this gap, men are 4,
right,
and women are 2. It's a little bit, we give them so many responsibilities in addition to what they are doing right now. But still, we want to encourage, like, there is a possibility for you ladies, like, just
do more
and see yourself that you can change or you can do a better work. So we are going to have 2 lead women in our company. So that's a huge thing for us.
And in Highland Harvesters, women and men doing the same job, do they get paid approximately the same? Or
Definitely.
Does the culture not allow that?
No. They are getting the same pay.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I think that sends a loud message to the rest of the world. And I'm proud of you for doing that. I really am. That's not easy. Let me shift gears a little bit. Let's zoom out and talk a little bit about Ethiopia, the country.
Okay.
What are some good things that you're seeing in Ethiopia? What are some things that sort of excites you? Because it is a fantastic country with some amazing people like you, right? There's lots of you out there. Mm-hmm. You just got to find them.
Yeah.
Give them a platform. But what are you excited about that's going on in Ethiopia in general?
You know, throughout all the times, the one thing that makes me happy as Ethiopian, being an Ethiopian lady, you know, the people, we are facing so many problems. Even now, economically, tribalism, safety, and on and on. But still, our eyes are focused on God. You know, you don't hear people complaining. Everybody have a hope that there is God in heaven and things are going to be changed, or it will change. A change will come someday, because we know that there is God in heaven. That's what keeps the Ethiopian people going. It gives them hope. Nowadays, it's so difficult. I don't even know where the wind is blowing. And is it encouraging? No. And most of us don't know what's going on. Like, it is so hard to figure out, like, are we safe or are we not safe? So everything is, I'm not happy what's going on. I know it's not a matter of being happy or not, but, you know, there are so many people that are frustrated by the economic problem. I know it's, the inflation is worldwide, but in Ethiopia, it's a bit difficult, honestly speaking. And, you know, some people might eat once in a day.
Right.
So.
And to give people some context, Ethiopia just went through basically a war, mostly in the north, but it affected everybody around the country.
Yeah.
And the Ukraine-Russia conflict, right, that's going on right now, is affecting that inflation. And to give our American friends some context, when you have approximately 30% inflation, you have a very unfavorable exchange rate with the United States dollar, the U.S. dollar. Just, it's difficult. It really is. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I love what you said earlier, sort of what you tell young girls and young ladies that come to you and say, what should I do? I wrote down faith and accept and love who you are, number two, and work hard. Work really, really hard. And I think when I look at you, like that describes you, right? And then that idea of humility. So on all our interviews, we always have what we call sort of a lightning round where I just ask you three questions that you don't really have time to think about. So you just got to go with it, okay? So it'll be one book, one quote, and then I'm going to ask you what a one person that has significantly influenced your life, okay? So aside from the Bible, which is clearly, by what you're saying, your number one favorite book, what is one of your favorite books or one or two of your favorite books that you've read?
Number one, it's Just Mercy.
That is a good book. Mm-hmm. And did you read that in English or did you find
it in Mark?
Yes,
of course, in English.
Just Mercy. That's great. If you think about a quote, maybe something your dad used to say to you or a famous person.
My famous person. My dad always says so many things, but the one thing that sticks in my mind always, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy and wise. So just be a morning person.
Uh-huh.
So this is the quote.
Yes. Benjamin Franklin, I think.
Yeah.
All right. And one person that influenced you.
Of course, my dad.
Yes.
Of course.
He sounds like an amazing guy. Is he still alive?
Yes, he's.
Okay. Well, I want to meet him sometime.
Okay.
He sounds really amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for doing the interview. You did fantastic.
Thank you for listening. We love your feedback, so please let us know what you thought about this episode as well as what you'd like to hear more of in the future. For more information, impact resources, or to purchase a copy of the book, Journey to Impact, visit edgillentine.com. That's edgillentine.com. The book is also available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Target.com. For Ed Gillentine speaking inquiries or advertising opportunities, send us an email at ajourneytoimpact@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the Journey to Impact podcast team. Executive producer Ed Gillentine, produced and edited by Joey Woodruff. Special thanks to Stephen Chandler. We'll be right back.